morning, I want to speak on Israel's greatest hits and why they matter. And when I talk about greatest hits, I'm not talking about the warfare. I'm talking about the music, all right? And my text is Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 30. And then in that chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 32 in the first four verses. Moses spoke in the hearing of all the assembly of Israel the words of the song, "Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, O hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as the rain, and my speech distill as the dew, as the raindrops on the tender herb, as showers on the grass. For I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God. He is our rock, his work is perfect, and all his ways are just, a God of truth and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he." 50 days after Israel came out of Egypt, they found themselves at the foot of Mount Sinai. God gave them the law. And if you recall, there was this great display of God's glory. And the cloud of his glory came upon the mountain. The mountain shook. There was fire. There was darkness. The ground was shaking. The trumpets of heaven were sounding. And even Moses was terrified at what he was seeing. And God gave them the Ten Commandments and said to them, "If you will obey the law and if you keep them, it will be well with you and your children and your children's children." Fast forward 40 years later, Israel is at the brink of entering the promised land. And Moses is rehearsing the same law that he gave them 40 years earlier. And all that is recorded in the book of Deuteronomy, which is called the Second Law. He recounted their history, their destiny, and the laws that would make them a special and a great nation. And then he renewed the covenant to them and handed them the leadership over to Joshua. And his final act, listen to this, my friends, his final act before he died was to sum up the prophetic message to the people in such a way that they will always remember and never forget. And the only way that people would all remember, always remember, was to put the message to music. So the last thing that Moses did was to teach them a song. There's something profoundly spiritual about music. The word music comes from the Greek word muse, which means spirit or inspiration. A Jewish rabbi once said that when language aspires to be transcendent, the soul longs to break free from the gravitational pull of the earth. Listen to this. It modulates into song. Glory to God. I was listening to a BBC program many years ago, driving in my car, about the Methodist Church in the United Kingdom. And the reason I mentioned BBC is because they would have fact-checked this information. And they reported that the average lifespan of a Methodist Church member in the UK was 9 years. Listen, it was 9 years longer than the national average. And the study revealed two major factors. Number one, abstinence from alcohol. And number two, they love to sing hymns. Now, I've said my piece about alcohol in this church many times. I think you heard it from me ad nauseum, all right? But I'll say one more thing, that the latest studies are all discovering that the detrimental effects that alcohol has on the human body, just one glass of wine every day, has a detrimental effect in the long run on your body. But let's talk about music and singing. There's something physiological about singing the songs of the Lord, and it's proven that it releases certain hormones and stimulus that are important for your overall health. Three good hormones actually are released when you sing, and there's a suppression of bad ones. And the good hormones are the endorphins and dopamine and oxytocin, which promotes relaxation, well-being, and a sense of goodwill towards others. I sound like a spa expert, hallelujah. Singing is a de-stressing, natural de-stressing agent. Now, it's important to note that the Jewish history is not so much read, it is sung. In the Great Welsh Revival 1904, in which we have a stake in because of the Bible College of Wales in Pisgah Chapel, the revival was essentially a revival of song. During the revival, this is what the newspapers were reporting. It said, "If you have not heard the singing, it is unimaginable. If you have heard the singing, it's indescribable." Come on. The revival is born along the billowing waves of sacred song. It is the singing, not the preaching. The singing, not the preaching, that was the instrument which was most efficacious in striking the hearts of men. The fear of the Lord would come upon people as they were singing the songs of the Lord. And I learn about singing from the Welsh people, because when they sing, they belt out the hymns. They don't just whimper quietly. They sing with all their hearts. Amen. Now, before the Reformation broke out in 1517, you know that they came out of the Roman Catholic Church. The focal point of the Roman Catholic Church was the Eucharist and the communion, of course, and the Mass. But when the church came out, Martin Luther and the Reformation, the focal point of the services was the preaching of the word, the preaching of God's word. And that was wonderful, all right? And I just want to prophesy that we are entering into a new reformation, and worship is going to take center stage in our services. I'm not downplaying the need for the spoken word, but I'm sensing that there's a shift that's happening to a greater anointing of worship and the presence of God. I just wanted the worship to continue just now. I really, honestly, I can stay here the whole service and just worship and enjoy His presence. Amen. But I know that you want to hear the word. Amen. But I have spoken to the worship. Let's take a little longer. Let's linger a little longer in the presence of God. I want to prophesy that a new sound is coming from heaven. A new sound is coming from heaven, and a new music is coming from heaven as well. My first exposure to music was at the age of 5. My mom took me to watch The Sound of Music. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness. I fell in love with Julie Andrews, and I cried. First time I went, I cried, and I listened to The Hills Are Alive with The Sound of Music, right? At the age of 5 years old, I went back 5 times. I asked my mom, bring me back. And we went back 5 times because it made such a profound impact in my life. At the age of 12, my dad bought us a turntable that played 12-inch long playing vinyl records. And my first album was this, Smoke on the Water by Deep Purple. Hallelujah. And I got hooked on rock music. I really got hooked. I never heard music like this ever before. And then I got saved. And when I got saved, God spoke to me. I threw away all my rock music collection, entire rock music, hundreds and hundreds of records that would probably be a fortune today. But I started listening to Christian music, and I was hooked on Maranatha Praise. And that's where I really, my wife and I, before she was my wife, she was my girlfriend in the university, we used to listen together to Maranatha Praise. And I used to lead in worship, and I remember the first time she saw me, she said, "That's the man I'm going to marry." Hallelujah. That's my version. She has a version. And then I remember hearing the first time, "As the Deer Patter for the Waters." Oh my goodness, when I heard that song, I knew I was hearing a song, a melody from heaven. That song had a profound impact in my life. It was like music to my ears. And it happened again when I heard Shout Unto the Lord by Darlene Check. The first time I heard it, I knew I was listening to a sound of heaven. The song was transcendent, and it had a divine breath on it. It was birthed by the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you a story? Many years ago, we had Darlene Check in our church. She was leading in one of the meetings and talking about worship. And then we hosted her, my wife and I, we hosted her for lunch. And at lunch, she said, "Pastor, last week I was at the Vatican, and I was singing, and we were singing and giving an item to the Pope and all the cardinals. And my partner who was singing with me was Andrew Bocelli." She said, "Now I'm having lunch with you. Do you think that this is a demotion or a promotion?" Come on. I said, "This is a promotion, man. This, you're talking to." Over the years, there have been many other songs that have been touched, that touch the deepest parts of who we are. And that's why that's what we're waiting to hear, the song of heaven that will bring us into the very throne room of heaven itself. Did you know that there are 200 songs in the Bible? And what I've done is I've compiled the list of 10 of the greatest hits in Scripture. You want to know what the 10 greatest songs in Scripture are? These are the number 10 songs, not in order of importance, all right? But the most important, the first song ever written in the Bible is the song of the Red Sea in Exodus 15. "I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously." And you guys, you don't know real worship, I can tell you this. Those were the best days of music. "For He has triumphed, the horse and the rider thrown into the sea." This is the first song written in the Bible, and it was a song of victory that Moses wrote as Israel saw God vanquish their enemies. Amen. The second song, which the rabbis sing was very important, is the song of the well in Beersheba in Numbers 21. They came to a well in Beersheba, and there was no water, and God commanded them, "Sing to this well." And as they sang to the well started springing up, and water came up. It's a beautiful picture of the well that is in every born again believer. If you are a born-again believer, God put a well in you, and you got to learn how to sing to that well. And the more you learn how to stir up the wells will bubble up, and there will be this effervescence of the Holy Spirit rising on the inside of you. My friends, I tell you, that's why Paul said, sing to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Why? Because singing is designed to stir up the well that is within you. This well is voice activated, and it only responds to your voice. Got to sing it to it. Amen. The third song is the song of Moses. We'll circle back to this. This is Deuteronomy 32. The fourth song is the song of Deborah, Judges 5. And this was the victory song written by Deborah, the prophetess, when Israel defeated the Edomites. This is one of the great teaching songs of the Bible. Then number five, you got the song of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 2. Hannah sang the song when God heard a prayer and gave her a son, and she named him Samuel. Very deeply touching song, very prophetic. The song of David in Psalms in 2 Samuel 22, written at the end of David's life. This corresponds to Psalm 18, by the way, with a few minor variations. And then the songs, Song of Songs, written by Solomon. The Song of Songs is a compilation of five songs of the greatest songs that Solomon wrote. And a Jewish rabbi once said, all the songs in scripture are holy, but the Song of Songs is the holy of holies. And if you need to have your first love kindled again, go back and read the Song of Songs. That's how, what I do. If I need my first love, I go to the Song of Songs, because there's something. I remember reading the Song of Songs one time, before I was in North Carolina in Morningstar, and there was a group of people praying for me, and I've been, for 7 days, I've been in the Song of Songs, and I've been praying and pressing in and just loving on Jesus. And I walked into this room, and there was a presbytery. There were four people, three kids just above teenage years, and an older gentleman. And I thought to myself, I was a young pastor, I said to myself, what can these kids do for me? How can they prophesy in my life? And the first person said to me, I see that you have been reading the Song of Songs. Wow. And my ears perked up, and she said, I could smell the aroma. And I realized that praise has to do with a sound, but worship has to do with aroma, has to do with incense. Amen. The more you worship, I'm telling you, people can sense the presence of God in your life because it can be smelled. Hallelujah. Amen. And then the eighth song is the Song of Mary, or the Magnificat. And this is the great prophetical song sung by Mary after the angel of the Lord visited her and she discovered that she was pregnant with the Son of God. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in the God my Savior. The ninth song is the song of the elders and the four living creatures, Revelation 5. This song will be sung. It's not yet sung. It will be sung at the opening of the seven seals, and it will signal the countdown of the return of our great King Jesus Christ. And the tenth song, which is the greatest song, I think, is the song of the Lamb of God, hallelujah, in Revelation 15 and verse 3. The first song sung in the Bible is the Song of Moses. The last song sung in the Bible is the Song of the Lamb. And this is great song will be sung by the redeemed, and it will reach the ears of the Messiah, and it will cause him to be so moved, and he will return in all his glory. Learn to sing this song, my brothers and sisters, because you, when you go to heaven and you're walking with the angels towards the throne, they will turn to you and they will ask you, trust me on this, they will ask you, do you know the Song of the Lamb? And if you say, what song is that? You're going to be in trouble. Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are all thy ways, thou King of the saints. Who shall not fear thee and glorify thee? For you alone are holy, and the nations will worship before you. For thy judgments have been manifested. Learn the song. Amen. It's there in Revelation 15, the greatest song in the Bible. Now, many scriptures speak of the power of music to restore the soul. There was a demonic entity that came to harass Saul, and David was sent to play the harp for him. And the anointing that was upon David's music would cause the distressing spirit to leave Saul, and the spirit, his spirit would be refreshed. And we need to learn how to tap in this anointing of music that enables people to be set free from depression. And I'm telling you this, in this generation, depression is one of the greatest scourges that we need to deal with. The prophet Elisha, before he could prophesy, called for a minstrel, a musician, to play so that the prophetic could be stirred with him, and so that he could prophesy. And there's something about anointed music, hallelujah. Each morning when I get up and do my devotions, I turn on instrumental music. Every morning I turn it on, it's soft in the background, and it helps me to prime the pump, tap into the anointing, and brings me into the zone. Music has an extraordinary power to evoke emotion. Derek Prince made this statement. He said, if you have only 10 minutes to pray, take 7 or 8 minutes to worship and you can pray a lot of things in the last 2 minutes. Come on, hallelujah. Something happens when you worship and when you become subconsciously conscious of the heart of God in your own heart. Did you know that the commandment to sing is the second most often quoted command in the Bible? The most often quoted command is fear not. There are 365 fear nots in the Bible, one for each day. So what's your excuse? Amen. There are over 50 commands for us to sing. And people who have mystical experiences of heaven speak of the continuous melodic music they hear in the background. The mystics go even further and speak of the sound of the universe. It's true that our ears can hear something like 20 hertz to 20,000 hertz, and that's the extent of our audible spectrum. But there is music that goes beyond that. The stars emit music, the trees of the field clap their hands, the rocks cry out. Everything in creation is worshiping the Creator at all times that our ears cannot fathom. Psalms 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the works of His hands. And there is no speech, there are no words where His voice is not heard." Listen to this. The music carries throughout the earth their words to the ends of the earth. There is music that's going on all the time, 24/7. And praise and worship is going up to the Creator. Heaven is continually worshiping the Creator. And the rocks cry out, "Sing, my friends, sing to the Lord a new song." What does a new song mean? It means it's a song you've never sung before. Amen. Now, it's important for us to understand that music also represents the heart of a generation. What I mean by that is music is dated. We have to be aware that there's a generational gap and not to be too alarmed about the music of the next generation. I say all that to say that in the early days of the church, I had people coming up to me complaining, "Pastor Young, we need to sing more hymns every weekend. Pastor Young, we need to sing more hymns. Listen, I love the old hymns. I do. But we're not going to win the next generation by singing "Shall We Gather at the River," because the next generation ain't interested in gathering at the river. Amen. But having said that, there are hymns that have been birthed by the Holy Spirit, timeless hymns, right? And if all we do is sing hymns in the church, if we allow tradition to bind us, we will fizzle out, my friends. I'm telling you this. We've got to be careful about tradition. Jesus said the most powerful thing in the world is the Word of God, right? But you know, your tradition can choke the Word. Your traditions can actually choke the Word and make the Word ineffective. So we got to watch tradition. We got to make sure that it doesn't interfere in our worship. But we got to be willing to embrace the sound of the next generation. Why? Because music and sound is going to make the next generation sit up and take notice. I'm going to read one more scripture here in Psalms 126 in verse 1 and 3. "When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with singing. Then they said among the nations, 'The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad.'" Ladies and gentlemen, when did the nations sit up and take notice? When did they say, "My goodness, God's with these people"? When is it? What was that? In their preaching? No, sir. In their buildings? No, sir. It's when their mouths were filled with joy and their tongues were filled with singing. That was the song of the Lord in their mouth that made the hidden sit up and say, "The Lord's with these people." We're now hearing Christian music being belted out at the largest and most important music platforms in the world. The world is beginning to sit up and take notice of our music because they're realizing that the sound of heaven is so far superior than anything they can create. Hallelujah. Shandai. Amen. Isaiah 61 and verse 3 says, "Put on the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness." The spirit of heaviness is depression. And depression affects a large swath of God's people. And we got to make sure, we got to teach them to put on every day the garments of praise. The garments of praise. That's how the spirit of heaviness has to depart. I told you this story before. I'll share it with you one more time. The first time I experienced this was when I was in a student in varsity. I came back one day. I was feeling like a failure. There was a cloud of darkness over me, and my spirit was totally downcast. I was in depression. I went into my kitchen, sitting down there, and I heard a voice. The Lord said to me, "Get down on your knees, lift up your hands, and start praising." I obeyed it immediately, got down on my knees, I lifted up my hands, and the moment I said, God, I praise you, the joy of the Lord flooded my soul. That was an explosion of joy like I'd never experienced before. And I'm telling you, it was a wonderful experience. Something happens when you lift up your hands and praise. Amen. The depression starts leaving you. And when you pray, you lay hold of things. But when you praise, you win battles. There are some battles you can't pray your way through, but you can praise your way through. Amen. You can. How many of you have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and that obstacle wouldn't budge? But what are we missing? Praise. Praise. Paul says, rejoice always. In everything, give thanks. Praise is a weapon. It's a key in winning battles. But praise is not just the only key. It's also the key to greater strength. One time in the temple, the children came to Jesus and they sang Hosanna to the Son of David. Pharisees were very upset. They said, tell them to keep quiet. And Jesus said, have you not read out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. Now Jesus was quoting David in Psalms 8 and verse 2. David, who wrote this psalm, didn't actually say that. David said, out of the mouth of babes, you have ordained strength. The Lord wasn't misquoting David. He was interpreting what David was trying to say. So what the Lord was doing was he was connecting strength to praise. In other words, if you want strength, you got to learn how to praise. Amen. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I'm telling you, we need lots of it in the last days. We got to need the strength of the Lord. Learn to give praise to God. Amen. Learn to give thanks to God. And we are exalted in Psalms to come into His presence with thanksgiving. How many of you wake up in the morning with a song? Do you sometimes wake up and you hear this song? When you hear that song, it's the Holy Spirit waking you up and saying, I'm going to lead you in worship. Let's just start to worship. Amen. Just 2 days ago, I woke up with my wife and I. We were in a short one day staycation, and I had this amazing song that was going on in my head. I should have just got up and started singing the song, but I was so tired. I said, Lord, I'm going to sing it later. I went back to bed, couldn't forget. I woke up, forgot the song. I totally forgot the song, and you know, I missed an opportunity to worship. We were there and spent a day. You know, just want to tell you this interesting. You know, when you're in, we were in the 29th story of the hotel. 5 lifts, all right? You can't see the number. You don't know where the lifts are. There are a lot of people waiting, and I'm standing there. So I'm practicing. I'm trying to practice my discerning of spirits and word of knowledge, right? So I look at the 5 lifts and says, okay, that lift. I sense that lift, and the lift opens. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's working. And the next time I sense that lift, damn, the lift's open. It's amazing. I feel like the Lord's really like fine-tuning my word of knowledge. And then I said to my wife, watch this, right? I'm going to show you which lift is going to open. I said, this one is going to open. Ding, the lift comes up. And she said, no, man of God, I worship you. She didn't say that. She said, you nonsense like you. You. She doesn't see the greatness in me. I don't know why. So. But pastor, I can't keep a tune. It's okay. God is auto-tuned in heaven. Amen. God made the nightingales to sing, and He also made the crows, amen? So you can be a crow and still worship God, amen? If you choose to keep silent, even the rocks will cry out, woo, hallelujah, amen. I've got to watch the time. The only people that don't sing and praise are found in Psalms 115 and verse 17. It says, the dead do not praise God. So if you don't praise God, you know which category of people you are. Eh? Who should praise Him? Psalms 150 says, let everything that have breath praise Him. Amen. God gave you breath not to talk nonsense. Amen. He gave you breath to praise Him. Above everything else, it is to praise God. Amen. Use your breath to praise Him. Listen, there's one thing that God can, the only thing that God cannot do, He cannot worship Himself. We got to do that for Him. Amen. So we got to learn how to come into His presence. I'm going to close by giving you a very quick recitation of the journey of the glory of God in the Bible. I'm going to take 3 minutes and then we're going to show you a little amazing video clip, right? When the children, God wanted to live among the people. So He said to Moses, build a tabernacle for me, gave all the specifications. He said, when you build the tabernacle, I will come and I will stay with you. I will show you my glory. It's going to be the cloud of fire by night and the cloud of glory by day. And so when the tabernacle was built according to the specifications that God gave to Moses, didn't care whether it was made of badger skin, the glory of God came and God lived among the people for 40 years. When they crossed into the promised land, the Jordan, God did something he had never done before. Now watch this. God said, I want you to take the Ark of the Covenant out. Now before this, the Ark of the Covenant was hidden from the eyes of men. It was always in the tabernacle, and if they brought it out, it was always covered by a very beautiful blue linen cloth, right? They couldn't see the Ark of the Covenant. They were not permitted to see the glory. 40 years later, they were going to cross into the promised land through the Jordan. They brought the Ark. Now everybody's seeing the Ark. They're seeing the glory. And when the priest carried the Ark into the water stopped. Remember this whole story? And in other words, the Ark was assuming a greater power in their worship. After they crossed into the promised land, fought the battles, they established the tabernacle in a place called Shiloh, where for hundreds of years it remained there, and that's where the ark was. Now remember that there was a battle with the Philistines, and Israel was very presumptuous, brought the Ark of the Covenant in. They were defeated. The ark was taken captive by the Philistines, and then of course through a set of series of divine providence, it came back, and it was in the house of a man called Abinadab for 20 years. 20 years. When Saul became king, he moved the tabernacle to a place called Gibeon, because Gibeon belongs to the tribe of Benjamin. But Gibeon was a high place. There was a lot of mixture, a lot of perverted worship going on, and God was not in Gibeon. But there was this group that Israel still worshiped at Gibeon, but the Ark of the Covenant was in the house of Abinadab. So David becomes king, and when he becomes king, he brings the Ark of the Covenant back to Zion, where he had erected a tent called the Tabernacle of David. And God says, that's the one I'm going to restore one day. Not the Tabernacle of Moses. He said, the Tabernacle of David, that's the one I'm going to restore. Why? Because there were no veils. People could see the ark and they would worship. But David did something that was never done ever in history in Israel. He had all these musicians, the singers, those who played the cymbals, the trumpeters, the string instruments, and every one of them, they were singing. The Levites were ministering. There was no sacrifice, but they were just worshiping the Lord. And it was glorious. And it was wonderful, and it was a new sound, and it was a new song from heaven. They had never heard anything like this. But watch this. There was another worship service going on in Gibeon, but God was not there. He is in Zion. Amen. They were, and then this worship was going on. So I'm just saying to you, be careful that when the cloud of glory moves, we got to move with it. Amen. When the cloud moves, we got to move with it. And God is doing something so profound here in Cornerstone. It's the worship that's really raising the water levels. There's something that's happening here. I'm telling you, yesterday the worship was so heavy. The presence of God was so heavy. I started trembling and I said, God, what are you doing? I know you're doing something here. There is a presence, there's a weightiness of his glory that is coming to the house of God, and it's coming through the worship. Hallelujah. There's a new sound that's coming, and I want you to know God is about to do something fresh and alive. Hallelujah. It's a new sound, new song in the people. My goodness, they never heard anything quite like this. And God is moving his address. Hallelujah. He's moving on to Zion. I close with this scripture, 1 Chronicles 13, 8. And David and all Israel played music before God with all their might, singing and harps and string instruments and tambourines and cymbals and with trumpets. What a breath of fresh air. And the cloud of glory moved. But a lot of the people chose to stay in the old tradition. So we've got to choose, do we stay or do we move with the cloud of glory? And which is why I believe God's raising up anointed worship leaders who can, when they lead worship, open portals of heaven. And there's going to be a divine synchronization, and the music of ministry will make a way for the ministry of the word. The church is not a Christian nightclub. Amen. Hallelujah. There's no such thing as freestyle worship. Amen. And I want you to know that praise has a sound, but worship really has a wonderful aroma. I'm going to close with this. We're going to watch a four-minute video. I really condensed it very much. It was 1.5 hours, and I thought maybe you can't stand 1.5 hours more. And then they condensed it in the YouTube to 8.5 minutes. We've condensed it to 4 minutes. It's a little choppy at some parts, so just bear with us. But you'll see all creation. I love this. Every time I watch this, I just weep. I mean, there's something very profound about this. It was produced 10 years ago by a guy called Louis Giglio. And I want you to sit back, watch this video, and then we're going to do a song.
They aimed the radio telescopes at the Vela Pulsar. This is what they heard. And this is what this guy does 24/7, day and night, 365 days a year. This is what, from 1,000 light years away, the Vela Pulsar sounds like right now. This is it. Listen to this. Now, I don't know about you, but that blew me away. I'm thinking, wow. I recently stumbled on 47 Tuck. It's a beautiful cluster of stars. We'll show you the picture of it here. There are 12 of these supergiant blue stars in there, but the things that are of interest to us tonight are these millisecond pulsars making this sound right now. Isn't that beautiful? Who knew? The whale songs could sound like this right here. Take a listen. But I came close. I had a friend who helped me with this little iPad program, and I'm not a DJ, but I just a little thing, just quickly, and I want you to see how this works. Now, this guy, we didn't look at his picture. He's PSR-BO329-54. And he's only rotating 1.5 times per second, which is not all that much, but we need him in our little experiment we're gonna do here, okay? And so we're gonna put the millisecond guys in there. The ones you just heard, here they come. And 16 others and some whales, and we got something going. But I was asking what you're asking, because some people need it really clear. Like, what are they singing? And we tried this, and you just gotta know this is unedited. We just dropped this on, and this is what happened. This is what they might be singing. Stars and whales.
praise, oh God, hallelujah. We just give you the glory and the praise. Lord, the heavens cry out, Lord, the rocks cry out, the trees of the field clap their hands, the mountains shout for joy to the living God. You are the Almighty God, you are the creator of heaven and earth, the El Shaddai, the El Elyon, the El Gibor, the El Olam, the Elohim, hallelujah. We worship you, Almighty God, we praise you. All creation sings to you, O God. Cornerstone joins in the song of the Lord. We sing to you this morning, O mighty God, hallelujah. Rimo Sababayandai. Lord, we worship you. We praise you, we praise you, Lord. This whole service is for you. Lord, we don't just want preaching, Lord, for the people, how you can be blessed, how you can prosper, how you can be in health. That's all wonderful and good. Today, it's all about you, oh God. It's all about Jesus. It's all about you. And we worship you, Jesus. We give you all the glory, Son of God. We give you all the glory and all the praise. Come on, someone shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We give you the glory. And now, Father, I just speak your blessings over your people. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and grant you his peace. And so may God put his name upon you forevermore. The blessing of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you. And everybody said, amen. Let's give God one more time a big praise. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
Listen to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.